Hello, and welcome to the Ignite class lesson for this week, which is Sunday the 12th of July. Before we go any further, let's play a little game. Okay, I'm going to give you clues and 5 points all the way down to one. So, good luck. I am thinking of a drink. For 5 points, can you guess what drink that could be? For 4 points, this is a drink you can have any time of the day. For 3 points, this drink can be mixed with food. Ooh. Okay. For 2 points, this drink contains calcium in it. Does that help? And for 1 point, this drink comes from different animals. Did you guess what that was? If you said milk, that is the drink I was thinking of. I hope you enjoyed that. It's just for fun and you can keep your own scores. Right, so today we are talking about the 12 disciples. There is a song that I am recommending for you to listen to. It's called They Were 12 Disciples. It does get a little bit loud, but it's quite good fun. If you look for it on YouTube, you can find it, or you can look for it on the church website under the youth resources. So these 12 disciples that Jesus had were very, very different. They were different personalities and there were different things about them. And there are some things that we know about them and that we know that these things are true. I've got most of my information from the internet, but I'm just going to stick with the things that we know and we can sort of refer back to in the Bible. So some of the time when they're talking about how many brothers and sisters they have, I haven't really gone with that. Because the important thing is to know about the characteristics of the 12 disciples and how different they all were. The first disciple we're going to talk about is Andrew. He was the first person that Jesus called to follow him. Andrew was working with his brother Simon, and they were fishermen. And Jesus called Andrew to follow him. Andrew was a good organizer and he helped to tell the other disciples what jobs they could do. So he wasn't very good at speaking, but that didn't worry him. He was very likable and he was very good at helping people to do the best that they could. When Jesus needed some disciples to stay closer to him, he asked Andrew who would be the best people to do that. So Andrew was like a good administrator. He was very even-tempered and he was very good at helping people to be the best that they could be. The next person we're going to look at is Simon Peter. There are two Simons in Jesus's group, but this was Simon Peter. Simon Peter was the brother of Andrew. And once Andrew had met Jesus and seen the things that Jesus was doing, Andrew went and called his brother Simon to join them. And he said, come and see this great guy. And Simon Peter joined Andrew. Simon Peter he was just my kind of guy. He was very quick to speak the things that he was thinking, but he didn't do a lot of thinking about what he was saying. So some of the times this would get him into a little bit of trouble because he would say, one time he would say something that was very, very good and interesting. Like the time when he said that Jesus, we believe that you are the Son of God. That's what we are telling other people, that you are the Son of God. And then the next thing, He might say, oh, Jesus, we don't want you to go to Jerusalem because that is too dangerous. We don't want anything bad to happen to you. And Jesus had to tell Simon Peter off about that. So he was quick to speak and make a decision about things. But sometimes he would get it wrong. There was a time when Jesus had been taken up by the Romans and they were preparing to crucify him. And all the disciples ran away. But Simon Peter was there, trying to stay as close to Jesus as he could and hiding behind his coat and pretending he wasn't one of the people that was following Jesus. And it only took a servant girl to tease him into sort of, and she was saying, oh, you were definitely one of the people that was following Jesus. And Simon Peter said, no, I've never heard of this Jesus. And he denied knowing Jesus. And it's unfortunate that that's one of the things that we know about Simon Peter. Later on, after Jesus has died, he speaks very, very well to people about Jesus. And he explains how they can give their heart to Jesus. And a lot of people are convinced. And that happened at the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down on the disciples. Peter also goes around quite a lot and he helps Paul when Saul became Paul. He helps Paul with the ministry and he goes around telling people in different areas about Jesus and convincing them to follow Jesus. Peter is also one of the people that he's one of the first people to tell people that were not Jews, to tell the Gentiles about Jesus and to baptize them. So that was a very, very big thing. So there's quite a lot of interesting things about Peter that we know. Then another disciple that was in Jesus's party was called James. And James's surname was Zebedee because that was his father's name. And Jesus called him and his brother the sons of thunder. James was somebody who had quite a bad temper. And sometimes he would say things in anger that was not very good. There was a time when Jesus, some Samaritans came and were saying bad things about Jesus. And James said, shall we call down thunder to kill these people because they shouldn't be saying such bad things about you. So James was quickly moved to get angry about things like that. And he did get on well with his brother John, but not as well as Peter and Andrew. Peter and Andrew, they got on very, very well. But James and John did not get on very well. But they would come together and help each other to do lots of things. James and John, there was a time when their mother came and said to Jesus, please, can you let my sons sit one on your right side and one on your left side when you go to heaven? And Jesus had to explain that it wasn't his decision who sat on his left and who sat on his right. But that was something that God was going to decide. I don't know what caused his mother to ask this, but that's something that's in the Bible. Then we come on to James's brother, whose name was John. John became an apostle, and he was a younger brother to John, to James. And I don't know whether this is what made John, maybe being a younger sibling, he just really loved Jesus and he believed Jesus straight away. He didn't question a lot of what Jesus said. And he was one of the first people to actually understand more about the kingdom of heaven. When you read the things that John wrote, he writes a lot about the kingdom of heaven. He writes a lot about love as well. In his books, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, he talks a lot about how we should love one another and how showing love to other people is a way of expressing God's love. So love was very, very important to John. And he was called the Apostle of Love. And in a lot of his writing, he tells us how important it is that we love each other. John is also known for writing the book of Revelations, which is not that easy to understand. And he wrote that while he was on the island of Patmos. Then we go to another disciple of Jesus called Philip. Philip was one of the older of the apostles, and he had a very, very strong idea. He had very strong ideas about teaching other people about Jesus. But the way that he would do it, instead of using a lot of words to explain what Jesus was about, he would just say, come and see for yourself. So he was more like somebody who would demonstrate the work. If he had to teach somebody how to do something, he would want them to come and see him doing it, and then they would understand how to do the work. And one of the people that Peter called, that Philip called to come and see Jesus, was Nathanael. We'll talk more about that when we're talking about Nathanael. So Philip was really, he just had an idea that once he had been given an order, he stuck to it. So there was a time when some people came and they wanted to see Jesus. But because Jesus was supposed to be having a bit of quiet time by himself, when these people came and said they wanted to see Jesus, Peter was one of the people who were like, no, 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 you can't see Jesus right now. You know, he's just busy. And Philip wasn't very good at bending the rules. But Philip is also known as one of the people who helps to get the gospel spread out to lots of different countries, especially Africa as a continent. There was a time in the book of Acts, we read about how Philip met a man from Ethiopia, and he tells this man about Jesus, and he explains how Jesus came down from heaven and how he was the Son of God. And then this man believes and wants to be baptized, and Philip baptizes him, and the man goes off to Ethiopia. And that is one of the ways that it is believed that the Bible and the talk about Jesus and the good news about Jesus was spread around to the continent of Africa through Ethiopia. Then we have Nathanael. Nathanael was, when he was standing under a tree and Jesus saw him and said to Philip, go and call Nathanael. I want him to follow me. And Philip went and said to Nathanael, I have found the person that John the Baptist was telling us about. And Nathanael says, oh, what, that Jesus? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So Nathanael was one of those people who really needed convincing. He really needed to get a full understanding of what was happening before he sort of believed anything. He really wanted to understand things better. And when he met with Jesus, he was convinced about Jesus, and he fully, you know, accepted that Jesus was the Son of God. One of the things that Nathanael used to help is to look after the families of the 12 disciples and make sure that they had food and all of that sort of thing while the 12 disciples were following Jesus. The seventh disciple we're going to talk about is Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector, and his family were tax collectors too. And Matthew was like a businessman, and he helped to explain the gospel to businessmen, to people of that side of things, because they felt that they could relate to him and understand him better. So he really helped to get businessmen involved and to believe in Jesus. And also Matthew had, he wrote a lot about the time that Jesus was alive, and he wrote a lot of notes about the things that Jesus was saying. And of course, we have one of the gospel books of the Bible is by Matthew. He also brought lots of his own personal money to help make sure that the disciples and Jesus had food when they needed it and that they had shelter. So he put in a lot of investment of his own money. The eighth disciple we're going to talk about is Thomas. Thomas was also called Didymus, and he was a very thoughtful person. He was very scientific in his thinking. He wanted to find out all the facts, and if he could sit there and find fault with anything, then he would. He really needed a lot of convincing to understand things. But once he understood them, he was okay. But he really would want to sit down and analyze things and make sure that he fully understood things. So this is the reason why we get Thomas, unfortunately, is sometimes called Doubting Thomas, because of the time when Jesus had been resurrected and he appeared to the disciples to show them that he was alive. But Thomas was not in the room at the time. And when the other disciples told Thomas that, oh, Jesus was here and he's alive again, Thomas said, I have to see this for myself. I am not going to believe until I put my finger in the wounds in his hand and in the wound in his side. And Jesus was so kind to Thomas that he appeared another time when Thomas was there with the other disciples. And Jesus said, come on, Thomas, put your finger in my hand and put your finger in my side. I want you to believe. It's important to me that you believe that I am alive again. And since that time, Thomas really believed that in Jesus' resurrection. Then we're going to talk about two brothers that are believed to be twins, and that was James and Judas, the sons of Alphaeus. These two brothers followed Jesus. They were just good-natured, and they really helped to improve, to forward Jesus's work. There's not a lot really said about them. They were just big-hearted and kind and generous people that worked with Jesus and followed Jesus faithfully. The 11th disciple we're going to talk about is called Simon the Zealot. Now, the Zealots were people that were fighting the Romans with swords. They were not fighting with words. They were fighting with swords. And they wanted that the Jewish nation should be in charge of Jerusalem. They didn't want the Romans being in charge. And so they would fight. If they were trying to cause a revolution so that the Romans would lose power and they would be in charge. And so Simon was quite, he used to try and fight, and he was a bit of an agitator, who is somebody who goes and causes sort of a bit of a problem, really. At the time when they were in the garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus was going to be taken by the Romans to be crucified, it is believed that it was Simon that took a sword and cut off the ear of one of the soldiers. And Jesus healed that man. But Simon was really ready to fight. He had a sword and he was ready to go. I think that's all to be said about him. Then we have the last disciple. Number 12 is Judas. Judas Iscariot, who I'm sure we know was the man that betrayed Jesus to the Romans for 30 pieces of silver. Now, Judas is thinking, there's quite a lot written about Judas and why he would betray Jesus. Because it's believed that Judas was really trying to help Jesus, because he thought Jesus was going to be this mighty warrior who would come and use swords to beat the Romans and then form a new government and be a king like the kings that they knew at that time. So when Jesus came talking about love, Judas really struggled with that. Judas was also quite a quiet person, but he had been through quite a lot of bad emotions growing up. And these were things he didn't talk about. He didn't express them, and he didn't deal with them. So they were in there sort of growing and really causing him to feel unhappy. And this became clear when a woman was really grateful to Jesus for forgiving her sins, and she brought a jar of very expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus's feet. And Judas, who was in charge of carrying the money for the group, was very cross about this. And he said to Jesus, "You shouldn't allow her to do that. You know, she shouldn't waste that perfume on your feet. She should sell it and give us the money, and we can give that money to the poor." So although it seemed like he had a good idea to give money to the poor, really he was sort of like not valuing what the woman had done. And the woman had done this to respect Jesus and to thank him. But Judas, because of the way he was feeling, he was very unhappy. He really was looking for other ways to make other people unhappy. So that is not good, really. And a lot of it comes from the fact that through the years he had been very sad, and he wasn't happy, and he wanted to spoil things for other people. So when Judas betrays Jesus, Jesus forgives him, but Judas feels so bad and so guilty that he kills himself, which is not very good. And even people today struggle to forgive Judas for betraying Jesus. And it's something that only with the help of God that we can sort of try to understand why Judas would betray Jesus. Right, so a lot of, so those are the 12 apostles that Jesus had around him. And you can see from this that they were all very, very different personalities. They were people that were strong in some areas but weak in other areas. They had some good things about them and they had some bad things about them. And that is the same for us. We should not expect to be amazingly perfect, wonderful people before we commit our lives to following Jesus. We should know that Jesus is going to accept us just the way we are now. He is going to understand if we are like Peter and we tend to speak before we think. Even if we do something wrong, like Judas did, God will understand and God can forgive us. If we are good organizers, God can use that to help other people and for us to be a blessing. So really and truly, God is not looking for people that are perfect or people that get things right all the time. To be a friend of Jesus and to be a son of God, you do not have to get things right. You can be like any one of the 12 apostles. You and your brother or sister could follow Jesus. If you have a twin, you and your twin could follow Jesus. God is not looking for people that are perfect, as I said. He's just looking for people that love him and want to follow him and want to live the life that he wanted them to live, you know. And when you're living the life that God wants you to live, you will be so happy. You will absolutely enjoy that life. And things will go well, even when things don't go well. That's a bit hard to understand. But God just wants you, just the way you are. He doesn't want you to grow up first or sort things out. He is interested in being your friend even right now. So that is all I'm going to say about the 12 disciples. Let us pray. Lord, I just thank you for everyone hearing this. And I pray that they fully understand how much you love them. That just like the 12 disciples, that you want to be their friend and you want to walk with us through life and all the things that we have to do. I pray that you help the children to understand this and to make a decision to follow you even today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So don't forget that if you want to hear or you want me to talk about anything else that you think would be interesting or any other things that you can think of that we should know as Christians, then please send me an email or phone Bev at the office or ask your parents to help you to do that so that I can know and what you're thinking. Stay blessed and I will see you next time. Bye.